Today on NFL Fantasy Live, Mark Sanchez and the Eagles soared over the Panthers Monday night. We break down the good, the bad, and the ugly from Philadelphia. Plus, our researchers dug up the quarterbacks and running backs with the easiest fantasy playoff schedules. Find out who needs to land on your roster before the trade deadline hits. Still plenty of players you can pick up to turn your season around. Don't miss Michael Fabiano's top 10 waiver wire targets. NFL Fantasy Live starts right now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. Not Money Smith here with the Admiral Akbar Abajabiamila and the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Remember, you can always join the conversation at NFL Fantasy. It's Tuesday, gentlemen, so let's get right into it. The number one waiver wire target for this week is
Ryan Matthews, okay. Assuming he's available. Sneaky. And right now on NFL.com, he's available in about 30% of leagues. He should be owned in 100% of leagues. Brandon Oliver, well, it was a nice story for a while. His numbers have dropped off. Danny Woodhead out for the year. Matthews comes in. He's playing the Raiders this week. Great matchup. You got to pick him up.
Well, I'm going to go with the other Matthews, but that's with two T's. No, not two. I'm going to go with Jordan Matthews, and he has two T's in his name because he had two touchdowns. This was a coming out party for him. I think we really saw what Jordan Matthews can be in this offense going up against the Carolina Panthers. That same chemistry that he had with Mark Sanchez during the summer, during the preseason, it's carried over. He's in full effect. He's in full stride. You can trust him in this offense with Mark Sanchez at that quarterback position.
All right. We will have, since I can't do Shane Matthews, plenty more waiver wire targets Shane and highlights Matthews from Monday night later in the show. But for now, we throw it over to Marcus Grant and Adam Rank.
It's Money. We are here, as we always are, getting you caught up with all the latest news and notes from around the National Football League. The Cardinals announced on Monday that quarterback Carson Palmer will miss the remainder of the season. He'll be placed on injured reserve. Palmer tore the ACL in his left knee, the same ACL he tore back in 2005. So Drew Stanton now takes over at quarterback for the Cards. Rank, how much will Stanton taking over impact the rest of Bruce Arians' offense?
I still trust guys like Andre Ellington, who's going to continue to have a great season. I'm down with Larry Fitzgerald and John Brown. Both of them have been playing very well as of late. Of course, John Brown has caught a lot of touchdowns from Drew Stanton over their short period of time together. So I'm cool with it. The only guy I'm really worried about is Stanton as a fantasy starter himself. I wouldn't do it. He's got some tough matchups coming up, including two games with the Seahawks, one of those coming in Week 16. So there's one matchup where you could spot start him against the Falcons, but for the most part, you leave Stanton on the bench. Oh, on the waiver wire.
You mentioned John Brown, too. He'll be on the show later, so I'm sure we will
spoiler
ask him.
Spoiler alert.
Sure, we will ask him about that.
Go ahead and spoil
it. Absolutely. It's what I do. The Denver Post is reporting that running back Ronnie Hillman will miss at least 2 weeks due to a foot sprain that he suffered Sunday against the Raiders. On Monday, John Fox said that Hillman is day-to-day. Post also reporting that Monte Ball is expected back against the Rams in Week 11. So a lot of reports going on about what's going on in this Denver backfield, Rank. What should you make of it if you're a fantasy enthusiast?
First thing you do, go out and pick up C.J. Anderson. He was somebody we talked about last week. He got some reps there against the Patriots late in that game because Ronnie Hillman was having some trouble with his pass protection. He took his opportunity, made the most of it, and to me, he looks like the most complete back out there for the Broncos. I understand Ball's coming back, but that guy's had 2 years to get that job done, and he hasn't done it.
Yeah,
so
just,
I'm going to go.
It's just one more thing we need, though, is a backfield committee.
I love him.
Right. It's great.
It's my favorite thing.
It's great.
He said facetiously.
Dolphins running back Lamar Miller was limited in practice Monday. Miller had just 4 carries for 10 yards on Sunday against the Lions, and his playing status for Thursday's game against the Buffalo Bills is still up in the air. Of course, you can see that here on NFL Network. The team signed LaMichael James off the practice squad on Monday, so which Miami running back, if any, do you trust playing on Thursday night?
I'm going to go with none of the above. I can't trust any of these guys in a short week against a pretty tough defense with the Buffalo Bills, so I'm going to just avoid the situation altogether. LaMichael James being signed shows me Danny Thomas, Damian Williams are not getting a lot of trust from that coaching staff. So if the coaches don't like him, what chance do I have of liking
them? That wiser words were never spoken. There you go. For more now, we'll throw it back to Money and their guys.
All right, thank you, Marcus. Let's talk about an East Coast battle. Monday Night Football, Carolina Panthers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Who wins? Panther, Bird, in a fight out in the wilderness. I'm going with the Eagle. It's our nation's symbol. First quarter, Philadelphia jumps out 3-0, having second and goal. Aaron Sproles bounces it outside. 8-yard touchdown, Eagles up 10-0. And now down 17-7 in the second. Philly has it. First and 10, I should say, at the 13. And they are up 17-7, I should say. Not
hey,
down.
Money. That boy good.
Who's that?
That boy right
Jordan
there. That
Matthews,
boy good.
Mark Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez.
Both BOF of them. Matthews, by the way, 7.3 points. 4.5 for Sanchez there. End of the second. Panthers second and 4. And Bradley Fletcher returns at 34 yards for the pick 6. The Eagles defense adds 8 points on the play. Cam loses 2. Later in the third quarter, Eagles set up on the goal line. LeSean McCoy. 1 yard touchdown dive.
And
first and 2.
We're lucky to get that.
He almost didn't get that touchdown.
Yeah. Middle of the fourth. Let's get Carolina. Come on. Give us something here. How about for all those folks that started Calvin Benjamin?
He actually had a clean pocket there.
No, it wasn't sacked.
That's what I'm talking about. Benjamin tacks on 10 points. Newton adds 5.6.
Touchdown, but it still counts for fantasy.
Yeah, 2 of them.
Philadelphia wins easy, 45-21. But it was not. Been remotely that close. Here are your leaders. Mark Sanchez with his 21-plus, like an elite QB gives you from that particular position in fantasy. Without that touchdown, man, would that have been an ugly number for LeSean McCoy. Darren Sproles, again, not a lot of rushing yards because it was so easy to get him through the air. You see Jordan Matthews there leading everyone except the Eagles defense with those 31
points.
Fantasy points. So let's start on the winning side of the ball. The big story of the night. Like just about everybody here projected, Mark Sanchez was going to have a monster comfortable in the system. Is he someone you can start each and every week, though?
I'm not going there yet. Not just yet. And he's got to play the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field this week. So if he can get through that game and play well, I'm going to have more faith
in
him.
I'm actually going to take the other side to this. I'm going to actually say you can trust Mark Sanchez. And the only reason why is because I really do believe that remember what they drafted him as when he got into this league. He was an arm talent. He was a talented quarterback.
Athlete.
But he got to the New York Jets, and he wasn't surrounded with a lot of talent, not like he has here. And the offensive system here works for Mark Sanchez, and you can see him feeling comfortable. We didn't see any interceptions in this game. Yes, you go back to last week, he threw some interceptions, but that was him working off those nerves like anybody else. Now
one of those was off the hands of Josh Huff as
absolutely.
Well. The one thing where I'm going to side with Fabs on this is Dom Capers is very good and making opposing quarterbacks feel uncomfortable. They blitz a lot. You've got Julius Peppers on one side, Clay Matthews on the other. Just be careful if you got another option. How about Jordan Matthews?
But if you have Jordan Matthews,
that guy you're starting.
Yeah, but if you have Jordan Matthews, that makes it very easy because Jordan Matthews is going to be one of those hard guys that Dom Capers is going to have a hard time scheming around because you have Jeremy Maclin on the other side.
Sure.
I mean, you can run, and I played in Dom Capers' defense, and I know it's pretty elaborate, and I don't know that there's going to be enough room to stop this guy and his big body. He's got a big body, he's a talented guy, and he's got the bloodline. This guy's related to Jerry Rice. He's going to continue to produce on this level.
How about rookie wide receivers this year? We have 7 with 5 plus touchdowns. Jordan Matthews joins that group with a couple. Eagles defense, I'd say, look, you get 31 points. Talk about a Monday night just heartbreak for anybody that had to go up against the Eagles D. Thankfully, the team I played did have the Eagles D, but I had a 60-point cushion. But Fabs, just
bragger.
Again, be careful. Both sides, because the Panthers play the Falcons. I don't think you want to stream the Falcons D.
Exactly.
And the Eagles go to Green Bay.
And you don't want to play them. The Eagles are the number one defense in fantasy based on points right now. But they played against a team with 5 turnstiles on the offensive line. They destroyed that line. Cam Newton was sacked 9 times. I would bench the Eagles D in week 11, but kudos last night.
They seem to be an opportunistic bunch, though.
The Eagles were piling up points. We mentioned the 31 from the defense. But really, LeSean McCoy, again, it was that 6 from the touchdown. So only 19 rushing yards. Did get that TD. Can you trade him? Can you get enough in return to trade him? Should you trade for him?
You know what? You shouldn't trade for him. I think you trade LeSean McCoy away. And, you know, as a guy who just traded Calvin Johnson away, I saw some production that, of course, because he had the injury and whatever, I say you take a guy while he still has name value. Because at some point, if he continues to produce like this, he's going to even lose his name value. It's the biggest thing he has going for him right now is name value. You want to trade him away and see what you can get.
And he might not have scored that touchdown last night. Remember, Brent Celek was tackled at the 1. Then they brought McCoy for the goal line carry. He has been one of the 5 biggest disappointments in fantasy. You can't trade him right now.
Yeah.
The only value he has, as Akbar said, and it was a great point, is his name, and that's it.
So see if you can snatch somebody up by putting Shady out there. Look for the Eagles fan in your group. That's what you do. You always do it based on emotion.
That's the guy to get.
On the other side of the ball, Cam Newton had two garbage time touchdowns, but with the three interceptions he threw, he ended up with barely 12 fantasy points, also lost a fumble. What should Cam owners do? Things are not
bench
getting
him.
Better.
Put him on the bench because, number one, I don't care what Ron Rivera said. He did not look healthy last night. He looked like a man who had been beaten up and is dealing with some sort of ailment. And the offensive line is an absolute joke. I don't know in 30-plus years of watching football that I've ever seen an offensive line play that badly. And Cam's got a great matchup this week against Atlanta. They're terrible. And he's got a good trend going against the Falcons. But I can't trust him.
Yeah, you know what? I feel with you. I feel the same way. It seemed like he went through a momentary strand of depression. I'm something he just didn't.
He can't run. He can't
run.
There's nowhere for him to go.
Running game. There's nothing.
And when you give that to a quarterback, it's very hard to step up there and be that guy. We saw that he didn't have that playing with that same gravitas, that same, you know, that oomph in his game. He didn't have any of that.
Let me just jump in here, because let's get to nut cutting time. You got Josh McCown against the Redskins. That is not a good pass defense. Would you start Josh McCown of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over Cam Newton? Is it that bad?
Absolutely.
I've had enough of Cam. I have him in like three of my leagues, and he's not done anything outside of that Cincinnati game.
So we're talking McCown off waivers over Cam Newton.
It's that bad.
That's how bad it's gotten. But you can still start Calvin Benjamin because he gets all the targets.
Right.
He drops a lot of them, but he gets all the targets.
Well, regardless if he's going, Cam Newton is going to be struggling, Kelvin Benjamin is still going to be able to, because he's a big body. I mean, if you really look at him, I mean, I know a lot of you guys, fantasy fans, they'll tweet me and say, Akbar, you look so big on set. Well, I really am big. I'm 6'6", and he's 6'6", and he towers over a lot of the secondary group guys. So that's going to be hard for them just based on size, sheer size alone. And not even talking about his talent. His talent, I mean, he's played with a physical nature. He plays with some speed, and he's getting better with his routes, but Kelvin Benjamin is going to produce at a high level as well.
Not only are you tall, but you stand next to me, and I'm 5'8", barely.
Well, there are defensive backs that are 5'8", and 5'9", and he towers over those guys.
Benjamin is a must-start every week.
Yeah.
Must-start coming up. Might be the only Panther you can start. Marcus Grant reveals his Week 10 fantasy breakdown. See which target and touch leaders caught his eye and what it means for your fantasy teams. But up next, find out which players made the biggest impact for fantasy fans across the globe this weekend. NFL Fantasy Live rolls on. Time now for Game Changer, presented by Bose. And this season, we are looking for your help to decide which performance has made the biggest impact for your fantasy teams. You can always tweet us at NFL Fantasy using the hashtag Game Changers, and we just may feature your tweet on an episode of NFL Fantasy Live. Akbar Fabs, like we're going to do right now for some lucky fans. Fabs, why don't you go ahead and take the Packers' demolition of the Chicago Bears and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so when a quarterback throws six touchdown passes in one half, it's probably pretty good
changer
for your fantasy football team.
Pretty big time.
And an absolute game changer. I was actually watching that game into the second half because I was hoping that Green Bay would keep him in the contest so he could have eight touchdowns and break the record. Unfortunately, he only had six touchdowns in the contest. And Aaron Rodgers, if you've been looking at his numbers over the last 4 or 5 weeks, they have been dynamite. That stinker he had against the Detroit Lions a few weeks back, that's long, long in the past. Rodgers is back to being elite, my friend.
Yeah, relax.
Relax.
That's how you spell it.
Akbar, you're just going to keep talking about him, aren't you? All day.
You love Forsett.
I do. Ever since I got him in that
trade. It's the first trade he's made.
You know why? Mama always told me that life was like a box of chocolate.
Better shop around.
You never know what you're going to get. And the Baltimore Ravens, they thought that they were getting a journeyman, but they got a guy who can run. Run, Forsett! And that's exactly what he did against the Tennessee Titans. I mean, he just exploded on them, and he continues to show his talent. I don't think his trend is going anywhere. It's moving upward. If you look at his game, he scored 10.5 points in 70% of the
game. That's great, Akbar, but my mama told me that the reason alligators are so ornery is because they don't brush their teeth. It has nothing to do with their medulla oblongata. I'm going with Marshawn Lynch here. Fabs, you own him in our Fantasy Live League. As much as maybe Pete Carroll and John Schneider want to try to usher in the Bob Turbin or the Kristen Michael.
They're going to run Lynch into the ground this year.
They need to win games. They need to win a division, and that means a whole lot of carries for Beast Mode. I guess in a Mark Twain fashion, the rumors of his demise were a bit premature.
No question about it.
Well, Dez Bryant, another guy who, you know, his numbers are kind of going yeah. I mean, you look at his production. He's Dez Bryant, so you expect bigger. Just kind of like, oh, whatever. But, I mean, now you look at what he did against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are the Jacksonville Jaguars, but this 27 points that he put up against those guys were big. We saw all of his talent on display. There's no doubt about it that Dez Bryant has that potential. We see it. We know he can do it. Tony Romo made him look good. He made Tony Romo look good with that bad back, too.
All right, that there was Game Changers presented by Bose. For more now, we throw it over to Adam and Marcus.
Thanks, Money. I'm here with NFL.com fantasy editor Marcus Grant. And every week on NFL.com, Marcus, you write a column called Fantasy Breakdown, which takes a look at the players with the most targets and backfield opportunities. So right now, let's take a look at Week 10's most targeted players. And why don't you walk us through it when it comes up here? There it is.
There it is.
Finally.
Absolutely. See, a lot of familiar names there. Anquan Boldin has kind of been a surprise the last few weeks. He's seen more targets than Michael Crabtree. He's kind of been the number one guy there. Nice to see Jimmy Graham back in this list. Alshon Jeffrey, even though the Bears offense didn't do much to speak of this week. But
did that count, that desperation heave at the end of regulation, did that count as a target for Jimmy Graham, or does that just go down as he was just
throwing it up? I think it ends up as nothing now because he pushed off.
So right. Let's start at the top, though. What about Megatron?
Well, it's welcome back, Calvin Johnson. It's fantastic to see him back and healthy again. It felt so long since we had some great things to say about him because he's been hobbled. He was used as a decoy. But he reminded us what he can do when he is completely right. So everybody who was frustrated, everybody who was holding on and waiting for Megatron to come back, you can exhale. He is the guy that we remember him being.
Hopefully he didn't trade him away, because that might have turned out to be a mistake.
That might not have worked out so well.
But what about, you know what? If my eyes didn't deceive me, it seemed like Josh McCown was actually throwing the ball to Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans this week. Am I mistaken?
You are not mistaken. And what's interesting is that because Mike Evans has had the big numbers, he's had 120 yards and a couple touchdowns in the last few weeks, that it looks like he's the one who's getting all the attention. But Vincent Jackson is seeing a lot of targets. He's had 25 targets in his last two games. The difference is he hasn't scored a touchdown in a while, so that is a little bit frustrating. But it's one of those things, like we saw with T.Y. Hilton earlier in the year, if you keep getting the football in your direction, chances are you're going to eventually find yourself in the end zone.
All right, Marcus, you've got the brains. I've got the brawn. I've also got a list of the Week 10's most backfield opportunities. Run us through some of these names here.
Well, Mark Ingram at the top. I mean, the guy who's just been a beast for the last, well, pretty much the full year, minus a few games he missed because of injury. Interesting to see Matt Forte on this list, even with the Bears getting blown out. Well, it is, because they're still at least getting him the football despite getting blown out there. There's Akbar's boy, Justin Forsett, down there near the bottom of this list as well. And Le'Veon Bell, I'm excited whenever he gets the football in his hands.
Now, I am the only one who's allowed to talk about Terrence West, so why don't you walk us through what Frank Gore did over the weekend?
Well, it was really great to see Frank Gore get the football. He had 23 carries on Sunday. The Niners made it a point early in that ballgame to get the running game going, so we saw a lot of Frank Gore. Saw some Carlos Hyde as well.
Yeah,
it's amazing what the Niner offense can do when they remember they've got this guy on the roster. The only problem is, I don't think this is going to be a trend. I think this was sort of a one-week thing. It's getting a lot harder to trust that running game for San Francisco simply because they just don't go to it. But at least for 1 week, if you plug Frank Gore in your lineup, you got something good from him.
Spoiler alert, I'm talking about Los Hyde on tomorrow's show. But what about Bishop Sankey?
What I like about Bishop Sankey is that we have seen his touches and his opportunities increase week to week. You see the 77 scrimmage yards. Yes, the numbers aren't great. Part of that is because the Titans' offense is so inconsistent. But Sankey is a guy, especially in keeper leagues or dynasty leagues, his value is going up simply because he's becoming a much bigger part of the Titans' offense, sort of like what we expected from him at the start of the season.
Apparently you didn't watch That Helps No One, because he was not getting the red zone opportunity. Sean Green, Leon Washington.
Leon Washington? Where did that come from? Really?
All right. Well, great stuff out of you, Marcus, each and every week. Be sure to check that out. And still to come on NFL Fantasy Live, you can't believe everything you see. So we're going through all of Week 10's surprise performances and letting you know if you should believe the hype. But up next, could the missing piece to your championship run be waiting for you on the waiver wire? Well, find out which players we say you need to pick up before your friends do in Week 11.
An 80-yard touchdown pass to Martavis Bryant.
Wow. Sean Brown.
J. Anderson gets a foot race to the 20, picks up blockers to the 10, the 5, touchdown Denver.
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live presented by Bose. Money here with Rank and Fabs and Marcus. And it's Tuesday, so it's waiver wire day. Time to talk about our favorite waiver wire targets for the week. Adam, why don't you get us started here?
Already put in my claim for C.J. Anderson, somebody that we had kind of kept our eye on at the beginning of the season. Somebody who I felt could come in and really take over that job for the Denver Broncos. We've seen this play out before. Last year, Monty Ball, Ronnie Hillman were jumped by No. Sean Moreno. This season, it seems like Anderson is getting into the mix. We saw him 2 weeks ago get a lot of extensive playing time at the end of the game because Hillman was having a little trouble with pass protection. So he earned the spot against the Raiders, and he made the most of it. So going forward, even with Monty Ball coming back, I still like Anderson to go out and seize this job. And he's my top priority.
Yeah, especially if you, well, had Monty Ball or if you had Ronnie Hillman. And then, it's one of those. What would a handcuff to a handcuff be? Babs, if Martavis Bryant's there, snatch him up.
I see that percentage on NFL.com where he's still available in over 60% of leagues, and I wonder what's going on out there. He has scored 6 touchdowns in his first 4 games. That ties an NFL record, and clearly Ben Roethlisberger is looking for him deep. He could take the top off of defense. He's got amazing speed, and he's just another one of these Clemson guys who's putting up big-time fantasy totals. If he's still a free agent in your league somehow, please, I beg of you, go get him.
Marcus, are you pandering here to John Brown, who will join the show today? Is that what's going on?
Sure, why not? It couldn't hurt, right? Make our guest feel good. You talk about Martavis Bryant being the guy who can stretch the defense for Pittsburgh. John Brown has become that guy for Arizona. They're going down the field to him. They're using him to get behind the defense. And if you get fantasy points for manic touchdown dances afterwards, John Brown is definitely a WR1 right now.
All right, so we got a couple wide receivers there. What about a quarterback, Rank?
I'm going to look at Josh McCown this week. I really like his matchup against the Redskins, who have allowed a lot of fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. And I really like that Josh McCown got back to what made him really good in Chicago, which is namely step back and throw it deep so your big, tall wide receivers can go up and get it. You got Vincent Jackson. You got Mike Evans. Let them do all the work. Don't make it harder than it needs to be right there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. More of that, maybe less of this because nobody's playing.
I had to choose between McCown, Orton, Bortles, and Carr, and I labored over it for 10 minutes. And thankfully, I went with McCown, and he got more points than Drew Brees did this week, as a matter of fact. How about a tight end, Marcus?
Well, I'm going to go with Michael Rivera. Part of it is because tight ends and young quarterbacks go together like chicken and waffles. But these two, Derek Carr and Michael Rivera, have found a connection recently. In the last 3 games, Rivera has been targeted 28 times. And I know that the Raider offense is a little bit hard to count on, but right now, these two seem to be working well together.
And it's that wonderful Raider Charger week, by the way, that you just cannot get enough of in Southern California. Fabs, your sneaky play this week is?
Well, I've been talking about Josh Gordon for weeks, and he's still available in over 55% of NFL.com leagues. Guys, you'd be picking up the number one wide receiver in fantasy football from a year ago. Now, there's no guarantee he's going to do that again, but you can't tell me right now you'd rather have Terrence Williams on your roster than Josh Gordon. He's available to come back in week 12. Pick him up now. If he plays as good as he did last year, you're looking at a boon for the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, no question. You think about what Andrew Hawkins is. I mean, as the number one receiver, they desperately need to get that tall, as I like to say, drink of water in there for those red zone targets. Gordon would be exactly that. All right, Fabs, here's a look at your top 10 waiver wire targets. A lot of the names that we just mentioned included Ryan Matthews right there at the top. You talked about him at the top of the show. If the people missed that, he will be coming back. Again, that is Raider week. And then, of course, you see, like we said, a number of the names that we discussed here, including that tight end Michael Rivera at number 9. Now, if you want more waiver wire targets, be sure to visit NFL.com/now to download the app for free. We'll dish out more guys to target exclusively for our NFL Now viewers. Our researchers have been grinding away to figure out which players have the easiest playoff schedules. The data's in, and after this, we'll tell you whom you need for your championship push. But first, we sit down with the Cardinals' red-hot rookie, John Brown. He's here to talk about his big game in Week 10 and how his offense will look with Drew Stanton now under center.
Still to come on NFL Fantasy Live, we saw some wild Week 10 performances, but can't believe everything you see. That's why we're separating the real from the fantasy mirage. Plus, if you're on the path to the playoffs with these players, you could be on easy street. Find out which quarterbacks and running backs have the easiest playoff schedules. And is it time to drop Reggie Bush? Should Steve Smith stay on your bench? You've got burning questions. We've got your answers. NFL Fantasy Live rolls on. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose. Marcus Grant here with Akbar and Fabs. And fellas, a lot of big fantasy performances this past weekend, like pretty much every weekend. But we'll help out some of the fans by letting them know if the players we saw blow up in Week 10, were they real or were they fantasy mirages? Ooh. And Fabs, we started with the new quarterback in the Big Apple there.
All right, the guy who replaced you. Geno Smith, right?
My stunt double, yes.
Have you guys ever seen the movie The Money Pit?
Yeah.
Remember when Tom Hanks and Shelley, they actually buy this beautiful house and they think it's a bargain and then it all falls apart?
Yeah.
That's Michael Vick for you. I want nothing to do with Michael Vick, okay? He looked good. He looked good against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But number one, the Jets are on a bye. Number two, they play the Bills and then the Dolphins after that. And just when you think Michael Vick's going to be putting up numbers for you, you know what's going to happen. The hamstring's going to go. He's going to throw the ball three times to the other team, because I've been doing this for a long time, and I know Michael Vick, and those are the tendencies. So if you need a quarterback this week, I say you look elsewhere. And he's not going to help you this week because, again, Jets are on a bye.
I'm not wishing. Speaking of fixer-uppers, you look at that Cleveland Browns backfield, and Terrence West was the guy in the preseason we thought could really challenge Ben Tate for the starting job. Tate won it, but recently it's gone back to West again. And even though the Browns worked in just about every running back they ever had, I think even Leroy Ford got a carry, it was Terrence West that led the way. He had more than twice as many carries as the next closest guy. It's going to be hard to completely figure out that backfield, but for the time being, if you're picking a Browns running back, Terrence West is going to be the guy. Speaking of young players who have blown up, Akbar, that young man down in New Orleans who's looked pretty good this year.
Yes, he has, and he is for reals, and that's with a Z. He is for reals. Not real, for reals. I saw his speed on full display against the San Francisco 49ers, and the way he was working the routes, the seams, I mean, everything. His routes were so clean. But what I like about Brandon Cooks is that he's taking full advantage of his opportunity in this offense. He's learning a lot, clearly, from his wide receiver, his position coach in Henry Eller. This guy played this game at the highest level, and so I believe that he's going to help him get to maximize his maturation rate and get him, accelerate him to a point where he's going to continuously produce throughout the season. We're going to see more of Brandon Cooks and his speed.
Well, Fabs, speaking of young wide receivers, if you've been rolling with the ODB, baby, he's got your money.
He is real and he is spectacular, my friend. I love what I've seen from this guy. He's a playmaker. Agreed. And he beat up on Richard Sherman.
Oh, he did.
I'll tell you something right now. This kid is going to be a number one fantasy receiver sooner than later. He's the real deal.
Pull up your pants, boy. But I can tell you this. When Richard Sherman gets out and says that, you know what? He gives Odell Beckham his props. He didn't talk trash. That's how you know Odell Beckham. Richard Sherman gave him his props.
That's absolutely a sign right there. So interesting, guys, to keep an eye on. We'll keep an eye on as it goes, the season goes along. From some guys who are question marks to the real deal now, we'll throw it over to Money and a special guest.
Uh-oh.
All right, thanks, guys. It is time to catch up with a D2 champion out of Pittsburgh, No H State, Western Kansas, kids. He's putting his mark on the 2014 season with a Rookie of the Year campaign. It is Arizona Cardinals receiver and Sports Illustrated cover model John Brown joining us now on NFL Fantasy Live. John, congratulations on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Congratulations on all the success. But first, for the kids, how about that Pittsburgh State Gorilla Squad and the championship you won going through a playoff? Somebody didn't write that on a piece of paper and hand it to you. You had to win it, right?
Oh, yes, most definitely, you know, just around a great group of guys at Pittsburgh State, you know.
So let's get to the stats. Let's just get these out of the way. You have 7 20-plus catches. You got a 75-yard touchdown grab to dust the Eagles in a battle of the birds. And just last week, a 48-yard game-winning touchdown grab to finish off the Rams. Right now, November 11th, is John Brown the fastest man in football?
You know, that'll be a tough one, but, you know, I accept the challenges, you know, just a quick guy with great burst, you know, and I know how to get open around a great group of receivers.
Now, speaking of a great group of receivers, let's talk about that speed, because at the Combine, you were in the same group, I think, as Odell Beckham, who put up a big-time 40 number. You put up a big-time 40 number. You guys ever go back and forth about the world's fastest man when it comes to the NFL?
No, you know, we never talk about it much, but, you know, it's just, you know, in the locker room, you know, Larry always thinks he's faster than me.
Well, speaking of Larry, I mean, it's nice to have Larry on that roster with you. Give us an idea of having that sort of veteran presence, a surefire Hall of Famer, arguably the best receiver of his generation. What kind of advice, what have you learned so far from Larry Fitzgerald?
Oh, you know, Larry is a great guy all over, you know, in practice, you know, he's always on me, you know, making sure I do the right things. You know, even times like I drop passes, you know, he's like, hey, just get over it. I don't remember time I dropped passes. And, you know, he's that type of role model you need.
Now, Carson Palmer unfortunately lost for the year, and he was having a heck of a season. How much, if at all, does this offense change with him out?
You know, it's tough with Carson gone. You know, we're going to miss him. But, you know, it doesn't change at all because we know Drew can get the job done. You know, he stepped up big time. So, you know, we could finish it off great with him.
Yeah, speaking of Drew, he's got 3 touchdown passes this year. And they all have gone to the same receiver. I don't know if you were aware of that, but that receiver would be you that Drew Stanton keeps targeting in that end zone. Clearly, you have a strong relationship with him. Is that something that developed maybe in camp because you're a rookie, he's a backup? Did you get extra work with him?
You know, it was just I got a lot of work with him and Carson. You know, it's just that Drew just made the right calls at the right time. You know, he just picked the right plays, like the person to go to.
Now, Bruce Arians introduced the league to T.Y. Hilton 2 years ago. This year, it's you. And a lot of comparisons to that FIU Golden Panther. Did Coach mention that to you? And do you see the similarities between you and T.Y.?
Yes, Coach, he did mention it to me. You know, it's just watching T.Y. Hilton while he's been in the league. You know, I always looked up to him, you know, because I similar my game to him. And, you know, just stepping up and doing things that he did when he was with the coach with Bruce Arians. Now I'm stepping up and doing what I need to do.
Now, just quickly for kids that are watching or parents that have kids that maybe feel like the odds are stacked against them, just kind of give us a quick idea of what your path was like. You had to move high schools because they wouldn't put you on the varsity team, multiple colleges on your way to Pittsburgh State, right? You really battled the odds, didn't you?
Yes, you know, just going through the whole thing, you know, tried to play varsity for South Dade to follow my brother. And, you know, just being there, the receiver coach told me I'll never play varsity. And then, you know, I actually went to Homestead Senior High, had a great career there. Went to college, you know, the first college, Morris Hill, didn't go too good. Went to Coffeyville. They didn't put me on the roster. I made the practice squad at Pittsburgh State, luckily picked me up. And, you know, I just been making plays ever since I've been at Pittsburgh State, you know, and now I'm here where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, I know you mentioned your brother. We saw it on the Twitter handle, a lot of what you do to honor his memory. Just last thing for you, John. You've been on the field for 62% of the snaps against the Rams. And I was thinking with Larry in 64, 66 snaps and Michael Floyd in 58 out of 66 against the Rams, we got to get that number up. So I was thinking maybe you get your head coach, Bruce Arians, to take notice of you when you're walking around the facility this week before the Lions game. What do you think of this photo here? You rocking one of those Bruce Arians Kangos. I'm telling you, you're going to get out there more than Michael Floyd. You put that thing on.
you know, it's just, you know, Coach, you know, he knows what he's doing. You know, he's making the right calls and everything. So, you know, it's just every time I get a chance to step on the field, you know, I just execute and do what I have to do.
I'm just saying, I think 62% becomes 72%. You start wearing that Kangol around. John, congratulations on all the success and health and good things to you in the future. Thank you for taking the time out.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is. John Brown, still to come on NFL Fantasy Live. We look ahead to December and the hallowed fantasy playoffs. Find out which players' playoff schedules are so good we're saying to trade for them right now. Thursday, rookie phenom Sammy Watkins leads the Bills against the Dolphins in an AFC East clash. Thursday Night Football, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on NFL Network. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. Matt Money Smith here with Adam Rank and Michael Fabiano, Akbar Baja Biamila. The trade deadline only 2 weeks away, so our researchers have crunched the numbers. And here is a look now at the quarterbacks with the easiest fantasy playoff schedules. You see, this is based on fantasy points against. So as we get a look at this information, a tight grouping there in the top six, and then you see it sort of tails off a little bit there as we get Tom Brady at number 10. Who do we like the most as a trade target over these next 2 weeks, Fabs? Why don't you get us started?
How about Tony Romo? Right at the top of the list, right? And, you know, he plays for the Dallas Cowboys, so I'm not opposed to that at all. And he's not going to cost you a lot either. It's not like we're talking about Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers. Romo's been good. He has had some down weeks, and, of course, he's been dealing with the back injury, but he sure looked pretty good overseas in London. as we see him hitting Dez Bryant for one of his two touchdowns last week. And Romo's schedule, boy, week 14 against the Bears, whose defense looked awful this week. Philadelphia's defense has struggled against the pass. Indianapolis gave up six touchdowns to Ben Roethlisberger. So Romo's a guy, believe it or not, that if you have him, start him in the playoffs. And if you don't have him and you need a quarterback, go and get him. Romo could lead you to a championship, Akbar.
I like that. I believe
at least one
it.
Team.
I know it won't be the Cowboys.
Look what Adam Rank did there. All right, Rank, you chime in there with that little quip. Why don't you get us going? Who are you going after?
I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford. I really like his schedule going forward. And I also like that he's got Calvin Johnson back. Of course, he struggled a little bit over the last couple of weeks. But now that he's got his full complement of wide receivers at his disposal, I expect him to really step up and put up some huge fantasy numbers. And really, he wasn't too bad against the Dolphins. It was a bad matchup going in, but still ended up with 17 points, which against that matchup, I'll certainly take. And as you see the schedule upcoming, he's got Tampa Bay, he's got Minnesota, and he's got Chicago in week 16. You should be looking at that championship game and thinking to yourself, Matt Stafford has the ability to go out and throw, what, six touchdowns in the first half? And then,
first
quarter, maybe? You know, he's got to step it up.
That's arm talent right there.
Yeah, you got to step it up. You know, if somebody's already done six touchdowns in a game, Rodgers did a half.
So somebody's got to get in the quarter.
He's got to get in the quarter.
Well, certainly, Tony Romo might not cost you a whole lot. Matt Stafford, maybe even less. Someone that is going to cost you a little bit of scratch is Drew Brees. However, this is one of the best-looking playoff schedules for any quarterback, especially considering what Drew Brees can do with those pieces around him. You see Carolina. What happened last night with Mark Sanchez at quarterback? What did Aaron Rodgers do against Chicago? Six touchdowns in the first half, and we saw Josh McCown put up 20 fantasy points against Atlanta. Yes, Drew Brees is going to cost you, but as I always impart upon you, our Fantasy Live viewers, look at rosters. See where the hole is. Do they have a giant need at running back? Do they have a giant need at wide receiver? If you have a one at one of those positions, understand Drew Brees has a shot to put up 25 to 35 points in those three games based on where they're going to be played and the defenses he's going to face off against. So giving up a number one running back or a number one wide receiver based on what quarterbacks can do for you with points in the playoffs is not a bad idea.
Well, you talk about giving up a lot of guys just to get a guy like Drew Brees. I think a guy that you may not have to give up a whole lot for is a guy like Tom Brady. Tom Brady, we saw at the bottom of that list, you know, you look at his schedule, I think his schedule is very favorable. But to me, his production is inextricably linked to the production of Rob Gronkowski. As, of course, we know that, of course, Tom Brady's getting older. Not the same guy, not the same type of talent that probably he did have, and he didn't have a lot of physical talent coming into the league. But the one thing that I know about Tom Brady is that his mental awareness, his mental sharpness, it grows as the season goes along. And so whereas he may not have to rely on that, on his physical part, the mental part is he's going to win those games. That 14, week 13, 14, 15, he's going to win those games. He's going to put up those big numbers. Rob Gronkowski is playing at an all-time high right now. His number's going to continue to grow as they have been for the last 4 or 5 weeks now.
Yeah, who would have thought we'd be celebrating his pass catchers? But with what Edelman and Brandon LaFell, I mean, he's got that tall pass receiver. He's got Edelman, the possession receiver, and Gronkowski.
I think he put something in their water. Cincinnati game, he put something in their water. Something.
For more quarterback analysis, maybe there's something in the water. Be sure to check us out again Friday as we break down every single quarterback in fantasy in a special quarterback-only edition of NFL Fantasy Live. That's Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern on NFL Now and 5 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Now, let's move on to the running back position. Same sort of idea. These are fantasy playoff schedules based on fantasy points against for the running backs, the Jets. I mean, you talked about picking somebody up for maybe low-cost fabs. There you go. Number one, Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson. Most points allowed to running backs in their playoff schedule. We just put the Browns RBs because, there's not enough room to fit Tate, Crowell, and Terrence Weston there. So let's get it started. Which running backs do we like to trade for based on their playoff schedule? Fabs, get us started again.
Well, a guy that you're very familiar with is Mark Ingram.
Yeah,
Money was one of the guys who said back in the preseason that he would break out. We all liked him as a sleeper. And Ingram, he has been better than advertised this season. If you look at his numbers, he is now the featured back. Okay, I know Pierre Thomas and Kyrie Robinson have been injured the last couple of weeks, but Ingram's been fantastic. And when you look at a schedule that includes Carolina, Chicago, sorry, Money, and the Atlanta Falcons, who have the worst run defense in the National Football League, well, boy, Ingram, he might cost you, but he's going to be well worth the cost. Do a two-for-one trade. Two good players for one, he's elite running back.
Akbar, how about it?
Well, you know, I actually did this in our expert league. I actually traded for Justin Forsett, but it was in a bundle deal. I got Golden Tate, I got Martavis Bryant, and I got Justin Forsett. I needed a running back, and this is a running back that I knew I could trust. And when Money gave me this deal, I thought to myself,
Dave,
can I trust him? Oh, yeah, because I felt like I won.
I felt
like I won this past week. We saw the big numbers, but look at his schedule going in week 14, 15, and 16. Miami, that's a tough one. But Jacksonville and Houston, I believe that that's where he's going to have a lot of success. At the beginning of the year, we didn't know what was going to happen with this backfield, who's going to be the running back. We knew that Justin Forsett was on the roster, but we didn't know he was going to have this type of impact. His trend is not going anywhere, and I think it's only going to get better. In fact, he's going to have a good game against the Dolphins as well.
Don't make a guarantee.
One of the more interesting things to notice, too, for those that decided to watch that particular game, and I don't know if it was just Schadenfreude, and I wanted to see bad things happen to Forsett because I just traded him to you, but I did watch an inordinate amount of Titans v. Ravens. But they started with Pierce. They started with Taliaferro. They started with Forsett. There was a rotation. And then by the end of that game, it was all Forsett. That was the guy they trusted in the second half.
I mean, he gives defenses,
a hard time. That's the key. I'm going to go Le'Veon Bell. And this is a nice trend for making a trade because while he has performed regularly, double digits at the start of the season, that's tailed off. So Le'Veon Bell owners may be a little itchy right now and trying to figure out what Le'Veon's going to give them, especially with this passing attack that the Steelers have been displaying as of late with Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown. But here's the key. You look at Cincinnati, you see versus Kansas City. Both of those games are going to be in the cold in December. This is the AFC North. It is now the black and blue division. That does not belong to the NFC North anymore. And that means as Pittsburgh, after a bad loss to the Jets, looks to rebound and make their way through a nasty AFC to get into the postseason, they're going to have to play that Pittsburgh Steelers style of football that we've come used to, and that is running Le'Veon Bell. His touches are going to go up. His production's going to go up. The weather will dictate it. The style of play will dictate it. Absolutely trade one of your elite backs to
get
Le'Veon Bell.
Can I interject here, too? Get him now.
Now.
Because they're playing the Titans this week, and the Titans' run defense is awful. So once Bell destroys them, his value goes
up. That's right. Do it this way. Absolutely right, Fabs. Timing is everything. Rank, what do you got?
You know, I'm afraid with all these big-name guys, you're going to get a lot of unanswered text messages, dial tones if you try to call somebody. So I'm going to say go after somebody you can actually get. How about Freddie Morris? You look at the matchups coming up for him. They're looking pretty favorable, and this is a guy who's on the upswing. He's starting to score touchdowns, which I really like. He's never done that before. It always seems that he's given away those goal line looks to somebody, but he's getting into the end zone the last couple of games. His yards are also going up, too, and this offense should become a little bit more dynamic now that RG3 is back. They've had a bye week. They've had a chance to kind of work on some things. I have a lot of faith in Jay Gruden. I don't know why, but I do. So I see good things for this team. So I feel like Freddie Morris is somebody you can dangle somebody out there, get a nice little one-for-one going, and hopefully improve your RB2 situation.
I mean, talk about selling it. I have faith in Jay Gruden. I don't know why.
Because John Gruden is his brother.
Can you not?
When NFL Fantasy Live returns, we are hitting the Twitterverse to answer all of your burning fantasy questions. Stay tuned, because you just may see your name on TV. Oh, yeah. Right after this. With NFL Now, never miss another game highlight ever. Subscribe today and you get instant game highlights on all your devices. Download the NFL Now app today. Learn more at NFL.com/now. All right, gentlemen, it is time for fantasy feedback. We welcome you back to NFL Fantasy Live Money with all the dudes. Remember, you can always send us your questions at NFL Fantasy. That's one word right now. Let's get to a couple of the tweets. Just yes or no. Bing, bang, boom. Chris asks, number one, should I trade Aaron Rodgers for Matt Stafford and Julio Jones?
No.
Nope.
Nope. Hell no.
I'm going to go with hell no. Tweet number two. Tiffany Taylor asks, what do I do with Reggie Bush? Keep or drop? Let's assume there's a running back she can plug in there.
Keep.
Drop.
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 All right. Drop. Tony Alvarez asks, trade Calvin Benjamin for Martavis Bryant. Akbar, you start.
No.
I would want Benjamin, whatever that side.
Yeah, I think I want Benjamin.
Don't do the deal.
I take Martavis Bryant. Kevin wants to know, is it time to bench Steve Smith?
Yeah, because they're on a bye.
Okay, well, there we go. You smarty.
But even if he wasn't on a bye, I'd bench Steve Smith.
I'd bench him.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right, what if he's not on a bye?
Matchup-based guy as a three, and that's it.
That's it. Was a good matchup against the Titans
Torrey
as well.
Torrey Smith's taken over there now.
He has.
All right. That is going to do it for us today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for all of Michael Fabiano's top starts and sits for Week 11. We will see you then.
Listen, man, you got to pay attention all the time.